Good morning. Welcome to services at Fruitland Baptist Church. My name is Autumn, and I'm just going to help start us in our worship this morning. If you'll please rise with me, and we're going to sing All Creatures of Our God and King. It's on the screen up there, and you have a copy in your bulletin as well.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice with us and sing. Alleluia, alleluia. The burning sun with golden beam, the silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day you give us, Lord, to come to your house to worship you. Thank you for the song that we just got to sing, Lord, doing nothing but bringing honor and glory to your name. Thanks for those who showed up today, Lord, anticipating a time of worship here today, Lord. Thanks for the good week we had, Lord. The storms the other day, Lord, you protected us through them. Thank you for that. Lord, many were hurt and damaged and whatever, Lord, because of the storms. We pray, Lord, you might be with those folks. You might see them through. Today, Lord, we're anticipating a time in your word, along with our pastor who will guide us, Lord. Be with him today, Lord. Guide him, strengthen him, Lord. Use him today that your message through him will fall on some ears today, Lord, that really need to hear it. Lord, I just ask you to guide and direct. Be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Oh, let's see. How about page 108, please? page 108. Jason?
Good morning, everybody. Lord bless. And do we have any visitors today? If we do, welcome. It's good to have you with us. And before I get deep into our information here, the announcements, I just wanted to say a real quick word about the song we just sang a moment ago, the fourth verse of our first song, All Creatures of Our God and King. And I just want to make it clear, something kind of was slipped in there about Mother Earth. And I just want to make it clear that, of course, we don't serve or pray to or worship a Mother Earth, but we worship God, the Creator, Lord of all things. I just want to make sure that is known, because we don't want any confusion here. So today's offerings, forgive me, I don't usually do this. I'm just starting to get used to it. Business meeting. Tonight, 6 o'clock, business meeting and devotional. The drama team meets every Monday at 6 p.m. Personal evangelism, December 14th and 28th. Those are Tuesdays at 6 p.m. here at church. Wilton Bible Study, December 2nd and 16th at 6 p.m. And once again, that's in Wilton and the basement of the First Presbyterian Church there in Wilton. Says here, please add this date and name to your December calendar for birthday. Bill Herline, am I saying that right? Herline, yeah, 28th. Men's Bible study will now be called Iron Sharpens Iron. They will meet on December 18th at 9 a.m. No women's Bible study for December. Christmas Eve service, December 24th at 4:30 p.m. And the pastor's thought for the week, the most needed gift will be the least given gift for 2021. And that, unfortunately, is very true. Okay. Well, last week I forgot to do the offering, and I thank Lonnie again for stepping up and doing that. So we'll go ahead and get that done today. Again, forgive me, I'm kind of new to this. Before we get into the offering, though, I want to read a little bit of God's Word. 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, which he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord our Father, we come before you again this day. And once again, we thank you for that opportunity to gather together as a Christian family, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are always with us, that you never leave us or forsake us, God. And no matter where we are, no matter what we do, you are there. And we thank you, God, for your wonderful grace that you've poured out upon us, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, through pouring out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, for providing for every need. You are sufficient, O Lord God. And as usual, Lord God, we don't coerce or ask anybody to give money, Lord. But that is for you to work with them, Lord, in their hearts and in their lives. And God, we thank you so much that, again, you just provide so much for us, Lord, and we can never outgive you. We pray, O Lord, that you will bless this offering today that's given back to you from the great abundance that you've given us, Lord. We thank you, God, and praise you for all that you are and do. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Before our dramatic reading gets going here, just to going to give us announcement. Jason already mentioned in the announcements about our men's Bible study starting up, and we've changed the name to Iron Sharpeneth Iron to have a just spice it up a little and state the reason why we're there and why we do want to dive into the Bible every other Saturday. Hopefully, we'll have that on a regular schedule coming up in the new year. And so it's this Saturday, beginning December 18th, 9 a.m. And I have the little reminder slip to give to the men who are interested, and hit me up after the service and I'll give you one of those so you can put on your refrigerator or your bathroom mirror to remind you during the week. And we're going to start out our session with 4 or 5 minutes. We'll have a share time with a verse that might have impressed you during the week or recently or something that happened in your week schedule that you want to share and what the Lord has impressed on you. We want to do that to show that we want to touch everybody in a personal way. And then we'll turn over to Brother Denny Wheeler there to dive into the Word. He'll have his pickaxe out. Let me tell you, he's pretty good at uncovering the treasure of the Word, and there's some real gems that we discover when we get together, and Brother Denny's sharing with us what we need to do to apply God's word to our lives. So hopefully we'll see you there. Thank you.
Same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the darkness comprehended it not.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him.
And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist.
Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice,
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say,
Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Turn with me to 102, please. 102.
In lowly exile.
rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory over the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine heaven here, and drive away the shades of night, and pierce the clouds and bring us light. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou King of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Thank you, Pastor.
And thank you, Lonnie. Kind of close quarters here, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Good morning, one and all. I trust you're enjoying your day that God has given us today, rejoicing and celebrating, not only in God's providential care, but His good will and love that He extends to mankind through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great day to be alive. Our day today is filled with light, is it not? A beautiful, sunshiny day. And as we'll learn this morning in this message, every time we see light, we ought to be directed to the Savior, who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. I welcome you, though, in His name this morning, and it's good to see a nice group out today. And we're thankful for everyone that comes through those doors. We always know there's room for one more. We know there's literally room for many more, but we'll always find room for one more here at Fruitland Baptist Church. So be proactive in the day that we are living, and reach out to people, engage people where they're at, and share the light, pass the light of the world, who is Jesus. And I tell you what, if we're willing to do that part, He'll do His part. But we live in the midst of a needy nation, a needy community, and many of us in needy families and in needy lives personally. But Jesus came to meet our needs. So let's give Him praise and glory today. The title of our message is The Light That Overcame Darkness. And of course, we know that's Jesus Christ. The emphasis of our message today is indeed light. So let's begin with prayer, and we'll dig right into this today. Again, thank you for your good participation this morning. I enjoyed a little change-up in our services, and we seek to have more audience participation because this is a corporate worship service. And again, we are here primarily to worship the Lord, but also to preach the Word, which brings Him glory and edifies the saints. But let's go to prayer. And again, I welcome you to our services here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Father, we come to you today, understanding, Lord, those of us that have had our eyes open and have seen your light, that, Lord, truly, we are really unworthy to even approach your throne. We really have no reason, Lord, or any accolades of our own that cause us to be able to approach your throne. It's all done and done on the basis of your grace and mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so today we do approach your throne, and we also ask, Lord, at this time that you would humble our hearts, that you would quiet our hearts, that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word this day, and Lord, to be in tune with what you would have for us to do. We know that you have very well illustrated your will for mankind in your book, the Bible, and it is indeed your love letter, and that is the intent, that mankind receive your love. That's the primary focus of the word, and that mankind would be saved, that we'd be delivered. That's what that word is, delivered from our plight of sin, death, and hell, unto the glorious promises that you've given us for eternal life with you to rule and reign in your very presence. So today, Lord, I pray it'll be a day of introspection, but also a day of joy that's manifest here as we preach this word, because I am so thankful that you came as the light of the world that we might but see. Now, Lord, as we preach today, I pray your Holy Spirit would be active. I pray that he would support me in my weaknesses and feebleness. And, Lord, that this would be a day that would bring you glory through all aspects of this time that we spend together this morning. And I ask these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, and I do mean that today, I consider you not only those at least that are born again as brothers and sisters in Christ, but most importantly, friends. And I think this is a good time for friends to gather and to enjoy the season of the year. We know Christ was not born in December or on the 25th. In fact, it's very interesting. He was likely conceived by the Holy Ghost around December 25th. So you can think of it that way. But this is a season, though, that is focused on the birth of the King, at least if we're thinking straight about things. And as we know, this is a season of lights, right? And every time we see a light, we ought to think of the Lord. So have you ever taken the time to notice how light captures your attention? Does light capture your attention? It absolutely does. I was just enjoying their singing by the window. If you look, and some of you that are seated by the windows, and we see the angle of the sun, I really enjoyed singing the hymns because I could see them crystal clear today when the sun was shining on the book. Light gets our attention. It's meant to do that, and it was by God's design. Even when you notice darkness, it is an evaluation based on the absence of light. Have you ever thought about that? I have more and more troubles as time goes on. I tell Kim at night, I just don't see. Isn't it a dark night tonight? And Kim says, I think it's not as dark as what we think. It's our dimness of our eyes. But we evaluate darkness on the basis of light. You think about that. Now, we don't like to see this, but when emergency vehicles come, how are they identified and how are they made visible? By light, especially flashing light and vibrant colors, right? Reds, whites, and blues are especially attention-grabbing. And so we think about that always when we see an emergency vehicle, and that's by design. There's been some engineers and designers that have made amends over the years by doing subtle improvements over time to make vehicles more visible, and that's a big, big thing in that type of design and those kind of things. But during the season of the celebration of Christ's birth, colorful lights are associated with that. I ask you this morning, why? Because they draw attention to the Savior. You could consider some of the colors that we see. Some of you have made the little bracelets, the salvation bracelets, before, maybe when you're a child or as an adult, that have several colors. But you know, every color that we see in these lights are on the Christmas tree. And by the way, the Christmas tree symbolizes eternal life. It's called an evergreen, right? Over the years, some people struggle about that out of the book of Jeremiah. But unless the Christmas tree is an idol, it can also be symbolic of the Lord. And of course, we never worship inanimate objects, but it's a reminder. But all these colors have something to do with Jesus Christ. Red would symbolize his blood. The clear one would symbolize his cleansing, right? The blue would symbolize his royalty. Green symbolizes eternal life. And you can go right down the line and portray that. But lights, again, bring to mind, if we're in the proper thinking and mode, they bring to mind, bring us into the thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and God as being the lights. So colorful lights are associated. Now, God is light, according to what the Bible says, and in him is no darkness at all. That's 1 John 1:15. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. By the way, if we had a black light up here, and we don't, do we? Why don't we have that? Well, black, we could legitimately use it to say that it symbolizes sin. Okay? But normally, darkness is associated with sin, with death, and with Satan. And so we do not have that portrayed here. In a salvation bracelet, though, would you not have a bead that was black? Because as someone came to you or as you looked at that, it would remind you of the sin that Jesus Christ forgave. Okay? Also, it's said in the scriptures that Jesus is the light of the world. You've heard that. You've heard it already from me. And in him is the light of the world. And those that follow him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That and the supporting text to that are found in John 8:12. That's the key one. Also 9:5 and 12:46. Jesus is the light of the world. Well, as I mentioned about the focus, God calls our attention to himself because he is light. You know, after I wrote this message during the week, every time I saw light, I thought about Jesus. I saw the yard light in our yard that seems to be abused by the wind. Every time we have a high wind, something's damaged on that light or a bulb's ruined in it. This time when we had the high winds the other night, nothing changed. This morning or yesterday morning, I went out and saw that the globe or the reflector on that light had been ripped off and it was hanging on the bulb. So now I have another trip up the ladder to repair that crazy yard light. But I'm reminded that that light directs my thinking to Jesus. Folks, we see a lot of light, don't we, around us. He calls attention to himself because he is light. Light is always the overcomer of darkness. Light is always the overcomer of darkness. Man. God presented his glory as light on the newly created heavens and earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, you remember God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formed and without void. And remember what, if you read that text, what did God do? He said, let there be continued darkness. No, he did not say that. He said, let there be light. If you read that creation event in Genesis, did God create the sun that day? No, he did not. It was the light of his glory, the Shekinah glory, the brightness of God. God is light. He is brilliant. And that was his light that lighted the earth. But then he also gave the sun, and he gave the other heavenly bodies to reflect the sun. And the sun symbolizes what? We spell it S-U-N, but it's symbolic of the S-O-N, the sun. God gave light. God presented his glory as light on the newly created heavens and earth. And what did he say about that light? It was good. It was good. Light is defined, and this is in physics, but light is defined as electromagnetic radiation that can be detected by the human eye. I am not going to go into that this morning, but if you study the characteristics of light, it is awesome. It is brilliant. And there are many things that with the human eye we cannot observe to its fullness. But let me assure you today, folks, light or electromagnetic energy is a fantastic thing. Lyle, we need to have you speaking about this as an electrical engineer. Do you fully understand electricity, Lyle? It doesn't flow up or down, like plumbing, right? Okay. Yeah. These things are all part of God's splendor. And light in general is defined by a bright form of energy given by something, I have here in my notes, a something or a someone with a capital S, that makes it possible to see. So without a source of light, we cannot see. I've mentioned before, if you've ever gone to a cave, and sometimes when you go to a cave, they shut off the lights. They do an exercise to show you how dark it is. And let me assure you, if you've never done it, When they turn off the lights in the cave, it is dark. You cannot even see your hand in front of your face. And what is the first thing that you think about when that takes place? At least for me. What if there was an emergency and the lights did not come back on? I can't find my way out of this thing. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. Unless the light of the world came on, who was Jesus, we wouldn't find our way anywhere either, except into the depths of eternal darkness of hell. Jesus is the light of the world. God himself is the very essence of light and the radiance of its splendor. You can't come up with enough fancy words to describe the brilliance of God and light and how it's described through the Bible. And you know, there's just many definitions and descriptions of light as we look through God's Word. We would be lost in darkness if it were not for light. The word for light in Greek is the word phos, P-H-O-S in our English. Does that bring to mind anything? Now, I know people don't use the old-fashioned cameras anymore, but you can think about the mechanics of how those work. Today, we pretty much have gone to digital cameras, but what's the word we get that has this in it? Photo, yes. And a photograph, or a written image of light. And that's how we see things, by the image that's created through light. Darkness is always, or light, phos in the Greek, is always associated with good. Light is always associated with good, and darkness with evil. Why do you think there's so much more corrupt activities that take place after dark? Now, I'm not encouraging any of us to do criminal acts. Of course, that would be totally wrong. But we know ourselves, the possibilities, if you're going to commit a criminal act, are much more likely that you will not get caught if you do it when? In the dark, when you can't be seen. There used to be a special stipulation in the law. I don't know if it's still there or not, but there was a difference between larceny in the daytime and larceny at night. Stealing at night was a bigger crime than during the day. Both were still a crime. Darkness is associated with evil. Light is associated with good and with God. Every time, for everyone, it says in John 3:20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, it says in the King James Version, which means exposed. And that verse, well, among others, illustrates exactly what I mentioned here, that darkness is a lover of evil. And that's found in John 3:20, by the way. I think I said that. So here's the first take home here out of this. Every time we observe a light, it should remind us of Jesus. Light always makes things more clear. If you've ever worked on something very intricate or done something that involved great detail and skill and expertise, I know in my experience, I always wished or preferred to have more light than less. You agree with that? How many of you have ever been in a situation like I have many times? You know, most of the time where I worked on equipment and did things was under the big machine shed that has a blue ceiling. And sometimes when the things went wrong, it was at night. Have you ever dropped a screw or a little intricate thing in the dirt or in the grass? Immediately when that happens, when I'm working on something, I say, everyone stand still or don't move. Because what's the usual thing that people do when you drop something in that kind of environment? Well, they start to stir things, and the best thing we can do is get more light. And I found also in those situations to get the light focused better on what we're dealing with. Sometimes you have to get down on your belly even and shine that light across from a different perspective to expose the thing that we've dropped. By the way, Kim will tell you this. There are times I get grouchy. That's one of the times when I get grouchy. Yeah. And I think I've uttered these words before. Every time I've been involved, am I ever going to get smart and put this thing in somewhere where I can't lose it or put cardboard down? Doug, just a quickie.
Yeah. Well, we can use a magnet also.
Yes. That's correct. And sometimes I've had to resort to that. And I will not tell you a lie. I would not do that from the pulpit, but there's many, many times I've lost something and could not find it. And I end up having to go to town or even at times order something, and it really ground on me. But let me just say this. Jesus is available as the light to us today. He'll show you, and he'll show you intricately the things that we need and how we need to operate in our life, because he'll bring the light right on the subject from his word. Anyway, so every time we observe light, it should remind us of Jesus. Light always makes things more clear. And as I said, I never worked on a machine or a project of intricate nature where I refused more focused light. You agree with that, Lynn? You got some good lights in the shop? Good. That'll be a help. We need light, folks, and God delivered it. We need light, folks, and God delivered it. Amen. Well, a few points today. Israel was a nation that not only needed light, but needs light. If you came to Lonnie's Sunday school class, what do we always hear about Israel? Israel was a group of people, a nation that God called unto himself, the descendants of Abraham, people by faith. And Israel had what? It had ups and it had downs. We have ups and downs. But Israel was needy. Because sometimes we... Lonnie, should I even use what we found in 2 Kings this morning? Israel got so desperate they even boiled some of their own children for food. You read that in 2 Kings 7 and 8, right in that territory. Isn't that something? You know, I always wondered about that. Why would they eat their children? Why wouldn't an adult sacrifice themselves to be eaten rather than take a child? Now, that grossed everyone out this morning, didn't it? Do you think Israel wasn't dark? You know why they were in that situation? Because they rejected God's light. And when darkness is allowed to begin and is not extinguished by the light, it gets worse and worse and worse. Friends, we live in a day when darkness is growing, but the light of the world, Jesus, is still shining. And if darkness is in your life, he will overcome it today. Israel needed and still needs the light, who is Jesus. Turn in your Bibles or on your devices this morning to Isaiah chapter 8, 22 through 9, 7. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 22 through chapter 9, verse 7. This is the status of Israel before the Lord Jesus came. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Folks, that's not only applicable, as I just said, to a nation, but it's applicable to a person and our walk and our life. Nevertheless, though, Isaiah writes here, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. God tried to change him. God, who is light, tried to present his light to them, and they rejected it. Who might be here today that's rejected or rejecting God's light? I see light on the ceiling. Someone must have a ring or a mirror or something. Yeah, anyway. Now notice here in verse 2, Isaiah writes, the people that walked in darkness, and this is a prophetic scripture, by the way, of what was coming. It was already offered in God, the Father, to the nation of Israel, the three-part God, the Trinitarian God, but it's going to be specifically offered in the light of the world, who is Jesus, who was going to come to help Israel. Anyway, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. There's the word. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoils. In other words, in Israel, and maybe it's the case in someone's life today, the joy is temporal. You have joy when a check comes in the mail. You have joy when there's a good harvest, but it's temporary. The light of the world, who is Jesus, will give you permanent joy amidst all types of challenges and trials. That's what he offers to us and what he offered to Israel. For thou hast broken the yoke, verse 4, the burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God sent light to the nation of Israel that lived in darkness, and that was Jesus Christ. There's one of the key prophecies of the coming Messiah. That promise, by the way, God fulfills his promises. How do we know that God will fulfill every promise he's ever made, whether it be to Israel or to us personally in the church age? Because what he's done in the past, God is reliable, he is consistent. There are no places that we find that God ever slipped up or erred. And because of the fact that he has answered his prophetic promises previously, in part, we can assume and take to the bank that he will again fulfill his prophetic promises to the nth degree as he has promised in exactly the way that he has promised. Folks, I'm thankful for that today, that the prophet Isaiah shared that. If you turn quickly to Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17, Matthew 4, 12 through 17, you see, God fulfilled that prophecy already in the coming of the light of the world, who is Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. I'll be quickly here today. Read with me here. Now, when Jesus has heard that John was cast into prison, by the way, this is in the early days of Jesus' ministry after he'd been through the testing by Satan, and he heard then that John the Baptist was cast into prison. He departed into Galilee. By the way, why was Jesus always concerned about John the Baptist? Because he was his forerunner. He was the one that God sent to prepare the way. Jesus dearly loved him. They were actually related in the human side of things, were they not? Because Jesus' mother Mary was a what? A cousin, the Bible records, to John the Baptist's mother Elizabeth. And leaving Nazareth, in verse 13, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be what? Fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias, or Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw... There it is. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The light of the world began, again, to profess that he was the one who came to overcome the forces and power of darkness. He indeed is the light. Now, we know that that's the Jews, that's the Israelis, the Abraham's descendants, okay, by blood, but more importantly, it's by faith, we know that. But there was also another group. The world has been made up of two distinctive groups throughout time, according to the classifications of Scripture. That's the Jews, or the Israelites, and who else? And the others. Now, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, it seems, were kind of left out. But let me assure you this, there have always been Gentiles that were saved too. And we've always been saved the same way, by grace through faith. But in particular now, God has focused his light upon also the Gentiles through the coming of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful? I sat in a class the last two Saturdays by a Jewish man. I had some of the best discussions I've ever had with anyone during those classes. And I believe that God had that purposed, that there is a platform there for he and I to dialogue further. And I'm excited because you know what? Today, we're those of us that have been called by Jesus Christ to salvation are God's chosen people. Amen. Yeah, and that I'm you know, I shouldn't use this slang language, but I'm telling you, that's a miraculous thing. It is a miraculous thing. Amen. But the Gentiles also needed and need that light, right? Take a look over a few chapters. Well, you have to go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5. Of course, some of you know that Handel's Messiah is one of my favorite musical selections. And a lot of you say, yeah, that figures for a guy like you, John. I keep a CD in my car, and that's something that I always enjoy listening to throughout the year. Lyle? He didn't hear me. Bump him, Judy. Oh. What's Isaiah say? He says to Israel, my paraphrase, get up and get to going. There's some great hope. He says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness. The people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be, or his light shall be seen upon thee. And now notice verse 3. He was talking to Israel first, and then he says what? And the Gentiles, the non-Jew, shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Jesus came as a light not only to Israel, to the Jews, but unto the non-Jews. He came for everyone. Aren't you thankful for that today? By the way, that was fulfilled also, my friends, in part. None of these are totally fulfilled yet, as I mentioned. But if you go to Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to ask that you do that quickly. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, because there's an important point here as well that deals with light. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 3, and this is the birth account of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 3. And you'll notice how this was fulfilled. Now when Jesus was born, at least in part, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise guys from the east to Jerusalem, wise men. No, I wasn't meaning the three stooges, and it's not recorded that there were three. It says plural men, right? That's why some of our songs are doctrinally incorrect, or factually incorrect at least. You know, we three kings of Orient are. But talk to me here a little bit. They came from the east to Jerusalem. Were these guys Jews? They were not. They were Gentiles, okay? And interestingly enough, just so you know this, you've heard it from me before, you know how those guys saw the light or how they understood about what was going on here? Because a young man named Daniel stood for the Lord, for his God, and he had an impact on the nations of the East through his teaching. Yes, I know, Kay, that there it is again. There's a star. Where's that? Who's got a ring or something this morning? Well, let's just give, it's the glory of God shining upon us. Yeah. What's that? It won't come over me, I assure you. Anyway, by the way, when you think about light, think about lasers. I'm amazed, you know, when they've done laser surgery, and some of you have had laser treatments. Isn't that amazing? Light. The power and energy that has when it's, you know, directed and amplified. It all came from God. It reminds us of God. Now, where was I at here? Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. The point is, the Gentiles came to Jesus. They were called. And that was in part fulfilled right at that very point. All people live in a darker time today, and we still need the light of the world, who is Jesus, right? The light is Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem. Now, just a few supporting things today as we come down to our conclusion. And let me, yes, I heard an amen on the conclusion. And let me just tell you, the Bible, I can't bring even a smidgen, there's a good term for you, of what it has to say about Jesus as the light, or God as the light. But just a few further facts. You're close to Luke, so turn over a couple of pages here to Luke chapter 2. By the way, what are the proof texts for the birth of Christ? There's several, but the key ones are found where? Matthew and Luke. That's right. So Luke chapter 2, 8 through 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 2, and we want to look at 8 through 9. Here's what we find recorded. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, there's several watches during the day that are proclaimed. But the midnight watch is the watch of what? The darkest part of the day. Correct? I believe it was split into four different shifts. Don't take that to the bank today. I'd have to think about that again. But here's the point of this, what we find here. They were out keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. There's the light. The angel of the Lord came to them, and they were sore afraid. But here's what I want you to draw out of this. Jesus, who means Jehovah save, was born in the darkest part of the night. What was the status in Israel at the time of Jesus' birth? I talked to hear about what Lonnie taught on this morning. That was some wicked, terrible stuff. And there were points when Israel sunk very low. But you know, for 400 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene, Israel was in a low point. God was so angry with his people, he had a bill of divorcement written. Israel is the wife of God. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Okay. By the way, Israel and the church are similar, but they are not the same. Be very careful when you study about those kind of things. But the bottom line is, Israel had been separated from God. He didn't speak to them for 400 years. Kim and I had a little tiff this morning. I said something unkind. And I apologized to her. Not directed necessarily at her, but maybe afterwards someone wants to know, we'd reveal what it was. But could you imagine God not speaking to Israel for 400 years? I don't believe that's ever recorded anywhere else in Scripture, is it? That he had that long of a period where he had no interaction with them and wanted to say it's over? By the way, we did not say that this morning when we had our tiff. That was a dark time in Israel. But the darker the dark, the brighter shines the light of the world, who is Jesus. That's symbolic. Jesus came in the darkest part of night because it was the darkest time in Israel. Now, we can only take one of these readings, but I want you to write these down, and I don't have a note sheet today. But we're going to go to John chapter 4, verses 4 through 14. But I also want you to write down 1 John 1, 5 through 7, and 1 John 2, 10 through 11. Let's go to John 4, 4 through 14. John 4, 4 through 14. The book of John is a key book and key writing from the Apostle John. It's always where we should take people or take ourselves when we find ourselves in darkness or know that others are. John chapter 4, starting with verse 4 through verse 14. The other passages I gave you will parallel this. Verse 4, "And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he," this is Jesus, all right, "to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel." And I think I'm on the wrong track here. John chapter... No, it should be John 4. Oh boy, help me out, folks. Jesus, the light of the world. It should be 8, yes. No, that's not what I'm looking for either. Well, I'll check that. I think it's John 1. It's John 1, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Don't let me slip up here. You realize I'm on the hot seat in here. John 1, 4 through 14. See, that's why I have to look things over. You probably don't understand this, but when you're putting messages together and things interrupt you, and they do all the time, you make errors. I'm glad God's word is not something that has an error in it, but I'm prone to errors. I should have been able to rattle that right off and notice that wasn't right. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's a resistance between the darkness to come to the light. You'll find in your own life, there's a resistance to go to the light. The Holy Spirit has to break down those walls where you become tender. It's like this morning when I said to Kim, I'm sorry for what I said. I don't want that to be a problem today. By the way, just in case you're, it's over our clothes. My mom dressed me when I was a kid. My wife dresses me today. I was gone all yesterday, and, well, we don't want to go into that. We're out of time. Anyway, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the, you say it with me, the light. It's capitalized there, right? That all men through him might believe. He was not that light. In other words, it wasn't John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a reflector of the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. When we receive the light of the world, Jesus turns on the to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, his brightness, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the light of the world. You read those other texts. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When are we afraid the most? When there's no light. Jesus will be with us. You know, we never have to pray for him to be with the believer, because he is, through the form of his Holy Spirit. Psalm 37:6, a quick turn. You know, that's the good thing about coming to Fruitland Baptist Church. We do exercises here. We turn on our device or in our Bibles, right? So it's an exercise in fitness, if you want to use that terminology. Psalm 37 and verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. You know, God's word is a light. Doesn't Psalm 119, 105 say something to this effect? Thy word? Thanks, Autonym. He is light. He shows us the path clearly. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs and instruction are the way of life. We're supposed to walk, and we can find comfort in walking in the paths of light. So today, and there's much more, but Jesus came to give us light. Now the conclusion. Do you possess the light? Do you possess the light? Isaiah 50:10. Isaiah 50:10. More from the prophet Isaiah. By the way, he was a great messianic prophet. Isaiah 50:10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay or rely upon his God. If we're without light, my friends, and we don't possess the light, God is the one that we need to turn it to. He is the one that we can rely upon. And then 2 Corinthians 4:1-6. 2 Corinthians 4:1-6 in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 4:1-6. Paul writes, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I wonder today if anyone's lost in darkness here. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Folks, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ about the light of the world, is light to our lives. We're blinded in the darkness if we are under the behest of Satan. Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." We always point to the light, because in him is no darkness at all. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Folks, we ought to always be reflectors of the light. We would never want to be detractors of the light. If you're lost here today, folks, come to the light of the world. Head for the light, Jesus, in your darkness. Now, that's for those that are lost. But there likely are many people here today that have come to the light, but you're still struggling with what? As I get older, Kim and I have other conflicts over lights. I like floor lamps. Kim likes overhead lights. I don't like overhead lights because they're always in your eye whenever you know. But maybe today you've come to the light, but you're struggling with darkness like I am. I even find up here it's harder and harder to see. You need more light. But maybe you're fighting a battle today in your life with darkness. Could that be the case? Absolutely. Could it be the case with me? Likely. And I think none of us are much different. But if you today are struggling, head for the light. Keep walking in the light. Last turn today, Ephesians 5, 8 through 17. This is the message to someone here that has come to the light, but is struggling with the forces of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 17. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians 5, 8 through 17. Paul writes the following to the church at Ephesus. He says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light. You've been saved. You've been converted." And what's his command there? "Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." We know what kind of fruit we're bearing today, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And now he tells us in verse 11, "And have no fellowship," see it there, "with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Correct them. Remove them. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." It's likely many of us here that are believers are struggling with these type of issues. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light." Reproved, the word for that is exposed. If you're struggling and I'm struggling with darkness in my life, we need to bring it under the light. We need to bring it to the light. "For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Folks, I believe a lot of us are dead today. What do you think about that? Born again believers, I see the tendency in my life. I'm excited to come here today and bring the word. But I'd even be more excited to see people excited. Because folks, I think that's what we all need today. We need a good dose of light on our lives. And that light is Jesus, and he's available today. And as you look out these windows or outside today, as you see this bright sunny day, I know a lot of, "Oh, it's such a nice day." Did you think of Jesus? Because he's a nice light. He is the light. Through verse 17, if you'll allow it. Verse 15, "See then that you walked circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise," or carefully, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You know what? Time works against us. The longer we walk in darkness, the longer it'll be till we see the light. And time is short. He concludes in 17, "Wherefore be ye not" what? Are you dumb? John, get to the light. But understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the will of the Lord today, that we get to the light. If you know the light, keep walking in the light. We are in the season of light. It's all about the light. Who is? Who is? Jesus! Thank you, whoever said amen, because that's what I have next. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 391. As I've said a lot lately, this is a time for a response. You will make a response today. Your response may be to come to the light or to walk away from it again. But you will leave this building with a response. Because there is no neutral in God's gearbox, right? If you're not coming closer to Him, you're headed further away from Him. There's no neutral. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. The preaching of the word today, even by a faulty preacher, is the light that was given today, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there a need for Him this day? Don't resist Him, folks. Just like Paul wrote there, the days are drawing to a close for all of us. It doesn't matter if these are the end times. That's one thing. But every one of us will face an end time. We better go to the light. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Amen. Danny Wheeler, take us home with prayer.